Radio friends, today we bring to a conclusion our series on marriage, our series on the true Christian woman and the true Christian husband. We were last week considering the seventh verse of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and I'd like to get right back into that verse with you. We were talking about what it means to dwell with our wife as with the weaker vessel. Let me read the verse a moment. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, we were about to draw attention to the fact that Peter focuses on these words, as unto the weaker vessel. We must dwell with our wife in the knowledge or understanding that they are the weaker vessel. The apostle refers then to the wife as a vessel, and that is something that is not demeaning. Romans chapter 9 calls all men vessels. They are either vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. The apostle Paul refers to himself as a chosen vessel. So it's not demeaning, but it refers to something that is fitted, something that is tailored by one's own fingers and hand. The word then points to our existence as created by God, fitted for a purpose that God has in mind. And then there is a comparative. Dwell with your wife as unto the weaker vessel. Weaker, a comparative. And that means that a man is a vessel that is weak. God says you are weak, man. But he says the woman is a weaker vessel. Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that the woman is weaker mentally. It does not mean that the woman is weaker spiritually. It does not mean that the woman is weaker in moral courage. But in her created identity as a woman, she is the weaker vessel, first of all, physically. God has made the male, the man, stronger of the two, most often. And no amount of steroids or bodybuilding is going to change that. God made the male physically stronger, but weaker also positionally. That is, God made the woman for the man to be his helpmeet, made the man the head and the woman to be under her husband, vulnerable. And that's not demeaning, but that's her very femininity. Now, understand how God has created the woman then. Unbelief doesn't like this at all, and unbelieving women have a controversy with God, and they malign and they blaspheme God. But man cannot escape what God has done. And what God has done is not bad, but it is good. Sin, of course, causes a man to exploit a woman, to become a predator upon her, to prey upon her, to abuse her, to take advantage, to turn this word of God into tyranny. Sin perverts, and God will judge those who pervert his word. But Christian husbands, God is saying you are different. You understand, don't you? Dwell with your wife according to the knowledge that she is the weaker vessel. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever meditate about that as a husband? Are you conducting yourself toward your wife as God made your wife to be? Not as you think she ought to be, not as you conceive of her, but are you dwelling with her as God made her? Are you leading, protecting, caring, nurturing, cherishing her, even as the Lord cares for his bride, the church? And are you teaching your sons how to dwell one day with a wife? Are you teaching your sons in how they treat their sisters and other girls, that they may not poke fun of them, they may not be rough with them, they must be polite, they must open the door for them? Are you telling your sons, are you insisting that your sons do this? You think that's just politeness? Husbands, that is your calling. You must dwell with your wife in the knowledge that she is the weaker vessel. And secondly, you must give honor to your wife as being heirs together of the grace of life. Give her honor. Doesn't say give her flowers, candy, or a dress to make up after a spout. You might want to do that. But give her honor. That's something that comes not from Fannie Mae, but from the heart. Give, show, assign to her honor. And honor is one of the favorite words of the apostle, the inspired apostle Peter. Chapter 1, verse 7, that we shall be found to his praise and honor in the day of Christ. 2 Peter 1, 17, Jesus received from his Father honor. And it's the word that is used also of God. Revelation chapter 4 and 5, worthy art thou to receive honor. And honor is simply a word that expresses an understanding of the great value a thing has, and you treat it according to the value that it has. You recognize then what God has given to you in your wife. You see God's work in giving to you your wife. You see the value of that wife as your helpmeet, that fellow pilgrim, and as the mother of your children, and you honor her as being heir together of the grace of life. You see, Peter is saying you must view your wife first as God made her, as the weaker vessel, and secondly, as Christ has redeemed her, as an heir of the grace of life. She is a joint heir with you because of the grace of God. She has been given eternal life by grace. She is the heir of what Christ has purchased. God has given then to your believing wife an inheritance, undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for her. As an heir of the grace of life, she is the daughter of the King of Kings. Did you hear me? You're married to the daughter of the King of Kings. You're married to a woman who exists to be for his praise and glory. You are married to royalty. Royalty in Jesus Christ. Did you ever think about that? God has pledged his commitment to her. Now in the light of who God created her to be, the weaker vessel, and in the light of the redemption of Christ, the blood of Christ was shed for her, in the light of those truths, you must live with her. In your attitude toward her, in what you expect of her, in how the children relate to her, and how they honor her, you must believe and you must behave towards her as she is the heir of the grace of life. That's the way you treat her. I'm going to use an example. Imagine with me that you just moved into a new house, a new home, and it has a basement, and the people who moved out, you bought it, didn't take everything with them, and down in the basement there's this old shelf, and down the shelf is this dusty glass bowl. And you look at that bowl and you say, well, it's a good place to throw all of the hardware, the nuts and the bolts and all of the other stuff, and you use it for cleaning your paintbrush, and you pour in paint thinner and all the rest. And you just leave it there. And 5 years later, a friend comes over and he looks at that bowl and it catches his eye, and he gets up and he says, where did you get this? And you say, oh, it's just an old glass bowl. And you say, your friend says, I think this may be an antique. You go, oh, come on. Yeah, I think it might be. Well, Antique Roadshow comes to town. And his words are in the back of your head, and you say, well, let's take it in. So you clean it up, and you take it, and suddenly the TV camera's on you, and it's appraised, and they ask, you know what it is? And you say, no, no. And the man says, well, this is a rare 18th century French cut glass bowl. Do you have any idea of its worth? No. Well, $15,000 to $20,000. Well, if that happened to you, that bowl doesn't go back to the shelf to hold nuts and bolts. But now, has the bowl changed? No, it always was that. What has changed? Well, you recognize what it is. It always was that. Now you know it. Now look at the text. Do you recognize who your wife is? You say, well, she's been here. Do you recognize who your wife is? Give honor to your wife as being a joint heir of the grace of life with you. She is precious to God. She didn't gain that worth all of a sudden. No. God told you what her worth is to him in his grace. This is what God gave to her. This determines how you are to live with her. She's not just a wife. She's not just a homemaker. She's not just a mother. She's not just a woman, a girl. Just. Oh, may God give you eyes to see as a woman and to see as a husband what the honor here is. You have been made by grace to be a vessel belonging to the King of Kings, a daughter of the King. And may God open your eyes as a man, as a husband, and God open your eyes as boys. There is nothing in the world which can help you understand, which can show you what the godly woman is. The world is going to degrade them into sexual exploitation, but not God. The world is going to degrade them as somehow having to be equal physically with a man and all the rest. But God doesn't degrade women. The world and feminist movement and sin degrades a woman. But God doesn't. God says she's a princess. My daughters are the daughters of a king, and I'm going to bring them to my palace. And now to you, God says, do you know your wife? And then the world is going to pick up on how you treat your wife and how you live with her. For Peter is emphasizing to us as pilgrim strangers that the truth that we belong to God must always be observed by the world. Now you know how your neighbors live. You might never have talked to your neighbor, but you know how they live. And you might even know what the husband and wife relationship is in their marriage. You know that. You pick up on how they relate to each other. Even if you haven't talked to them, you know. Well, the world picks up on you too, husband. The men at the office, the men at the job site, they never saw your wife, maybe. But they certainly know what you think of her. Husbands, those men must know that you believe you are living with a princess, a beautiful woman, by the grace of God. The verse ends with an incentive that your prayers be not hindered. And this is an incentive for both of the duties. We must dwell with our wife, and we must give honor to our wife, and we must do that so that our prayers are not hindered. The word hindered refers to what any army does when it seeks to retard the progress of the invader. It would then blow up bridges, pour or dig trenches. It would do anything to impede the progress of the army, stop the invading army, grind it to a halt. Peter uses this word, or rather Paul uses the word, in Romans 15, verse 22, for which cause also I have been much hindered in coming to you. That is, there were things that happened that prevented his coming to the city of Rome. And then again in Galatians 5, verse 7, he says, ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The apostle says, who was the one throwing up a roadblock in your life of obedience? Who is that? Impeding your progress in obeying the truth of God? Who stopped? Who got in your way? Now God says that how you live with your wife has everything to do with your prayers. Do you want your prayers impeded? Do you want them hindered? Husband, do you want your prayers to go no higher than the roof of your mouth? Then don't dwell. Then pay attention to how you dwell with your wife. If you don't want God to hear your prayers, then dwell with your wife sinfully. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Your prayers will not. You will not be given the assurance that God hears your prayers. You're not living in love with your wife? You're not doing that? You say, well, there's all kinds of reasons. You're not doing that? God says, your prayers will be hindered. And I want you to note, brothers, with me, that this is used as an incentive for prayer, and that tells us something. Let me ask you, does the warning of God's word that something will wreak havoc in your prayer life, does that get your attention? Or do you say, no big deal? There are a few things that are so precious to a true child of God as prayer, the intimacy, the strength, the joy of prayer. Do you take that lightly? Can you endure without prayer? Can you live with a brassy heaven over your soul? Or do you say, whatever impedes my prayers, it's not worth it? Now, how will it do that? Well, from God's perspective, God has willed that if his children are not walking on this earth in obedience to him, they shall not enjoy the assurance of his ear from heaven. Psalm 66, verse 18, if in my heart I sin regard, my prayer he will not hear. If you treat your sin indifferently, God will not give you the assurance that he hears your prayers. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. God will hear a broken heart. God will hear a contrite spirit. No matter how weak or muffled may be the cries, God will hear that. But if we walk carelessly, we will not be able to barge our way into the presence of God. And from our perspective, if we are not living with our wife according to the truth of the Scriptures, if we are walking disobediently toward our wife before God, what will happen? We will have a bloody conscience. We will have a guilty conscience. And we won't want to pray. If you're upset with your wife, and you're a child of God, you know you can't pray. You know that. You know that because in the way of sin, it testifies, the Spirit testifies to your heart that you can't go to God. You know that. And so Peter says, or God says, that the very way of being assured that you shall be heard of God in your prayers is to be found in the way of dwelling with your wife and honoring her. God says if we are not right on the horizontal level, we can't be right on the vertical level. God says, leave there thy gift. If you bring me a gift in prayer, leave it there. First be reconciled to thy brother, to thy wife. Then come and offer thy gift. There are few things that are more telling in a marriage than your ability to pray with your wife. Can you take her hand tonight in yours and go to God? Or must you cross over the line of hypocrisy and come with words into his presence from your lips but not from your heart? Husbands in Christ, God is serious about how we live as men. He's serious about our lives as husbands. He's serious for his holy name's sake. He has taken to himself a wife, the church. He dwells with her in honor. He loves his church. It's his church. and he loves her, and he allows no one to harm her. He cherishes her, and he lavishes her with his love, and he comforts her in his word, and he's going to take his church, his bride, to himself in glory. Now, husbands, dwell with your wife. Honor her. Go to the cross for forgiveness and for strength. God has pledged to give you what you need according to his own grace and faithfulness. And may it be that as husbands, you and I are living commentaries on this text, so that God could say today, I have no need to write unto you, for your own life shows the truth of what it means for a husband to dwell with his wife. God grant his blessing upon us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou wilt write it on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.